Chapter 3, verse 8 of Ecclesiastes. Stirring warrior fathers. Subtitle is Mrs. Mint and Mr. Mustard. To print up my sermon today, I had to use all kinds of different color ink, so if I'm extra colorful today, you'll know why. Dear Father, we do pray and thank you for your goodness. We do pray, God, that you would bless the preaching, Father, for unless you build the house, we labor in vain. We could do nothing without you. Lord, I can't convict people. I can't persuade them. Only you can open hearts and open eyes. And we do pray you'll give the increase today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this word. You called us to come and reason with you, Lord, that we might be saved from unreasonable men. I pray you help me today, God, to stir up warrior fathers. In Jesus Christ's name, we give you thanks. Amen. According to Solomon, there's a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. So it's my goal to be a blessing to men today. We have some great confusion. We have a great imbalance. There's almost a rejection of any kind of hate in Christianity today. There's only one thing you're allowed to hate. That's a traditional male Christian. You're allowed to hate women if they in any way support a male Christian. Even Obama was attacked by his own media when he dared to mention the elephant in the room. In one of his eloquent moments, he happened to say, "You know, I think we got a problem with a lack of fathers in America today." And he was called a racist. They called Obama a racist. So listen, there's one thing you hate, but only one thing. That's anything that goes against the liberal, progressive, commie agenda that they want to implement in this new world order. Well, I want you to see from our text, there's a time for hate. So we need to have a balance. We got to hate what God wants us to hate and love what God wants us to love. And not only that, there's a place for war. There's a time of war. When the Lord Jesus comes and establishes His kingdom, there'll be a time of rest. You're not in the time of rest right now. We're in a time of war. So while many have proverbial flowers in their hair, talking about love, listening to sermonettes from effeminate pastors, they don't even realize they're in a war. And they're losing it. So we have to start with the churches. The Lord used a whip to cleanse the house of God. And what did He cleanse it of? Businessmen selling doves. They destroy by peace. There is no peace to the wicked. But somebody wants you to make peace with the devil. Somebody wants you to make peace with abominations. And anybody that's not walking the way they want you to walk, will be hated. They hate him, despise him that rebukes in the gate. So where is the zeal for the Lord's house today? Where are the warrior fathers rebuking in these last days this nonsense? The houses of worship have been taken over by feminism. Like Democrats, the whole Democratic Party. They pander to single mothers. That's a fact. That's why they got mad at Obama. Churches are doing the same. They are pandering to single mothers. Now listen, if you're a widow, if you're an abandoned woman, then by all means, let's do everything we can to help and support. But churches often make no distinction at all, and they call it mercy. They don't even judge righteous judgment at all. Now let me point out some studies that have come out. Here's a headline. Those with higher testosterone, it was shown, lied less frequently. Interesting. Interesting. Those with higher testosterone, men, lied less frequently. That's scary because when you get a wimpy man, a lot of times he's a weasel too. You can't trust him. And I've met a lot of folks that will just lie while they're looking at you. You know what I mean? Here's another headline. Men with high testosterone less likely to be in church. I brought this headline up the other day in another church I was visiting. Men with high testosterone less likely to be in church. Is this because they're less spiritual? Or are they more turned off by the whole feminization of Christianity? Titus was commanded to call all men and all women, young and old, to sobriety. So we have to realize you're in a war, brother. You have to realize the scheme of the enemy and what he's doing. You got to be sober as an older person. You got to be sober as a father of the church. You have to be sober as a young man and a young woman. After preaching these things for many years in whatever corner of the world we have, little piece to try to influence. It is a blessing to see Tucker Carlson of Fox News, who has a platform for thousands and thousands to be able to hear these words. He decided to celebrate Women's History Month in March by launching a series on men in America. It was titled, Men in America, Something Ominous is Happening. He says, you hear a lot in America about the war on women, but it's men in America who are failing. We have some shocking statistics. The signs are everywhere. If you're a middle-aged man, you probably know a peer who has killed himself in recent years. If you're an employer, you may have noticed that your female employees show up on time, whereas the young men often don't. Something ominous is happening to men in America. Everyone who pays attention knows that. What's odd is how rarely you hear it publicly acknowledged. Here are the numbers. Start with the most basic, life and death. Men are more than twice as likely as women to become alcoholics. They're also twice as likely to die of a drug overdose. 77% of all suicides are committed by men. The overall rate is increasing at a dramatic pace. Between 1997 and 2014, there was a 43% rise in suicide deaths among middle-aged American men. Over 90% of inmates are male. More girls than boys graduate high school. Women decisively outnumber men in graduate school. They earn the majority of doctoral degrees and just about all other degrees. They are now the majority of new enrollees in both law and medical schools. There are now 7 million working age American men who are no longer in the labor force. They've dropped out. Nearly half of them take pain medication on any given day. That's the highest rate in the world. About 1 in 5 American children live with only their mothers. That's double the rate in 1970. Millions more boys are growing up without fathers. Single women buy their own homes at more than twice the rate of single men. One study using census data found that single women in their 20s living in metropolitan areas now earn 8% more on average than their male counterparts. By the way, the majority of managers are now women. Men are even falling behind physically. A recent study found that almost half of young men failed the Army's entry-level physical fitness test during basic training. Fully 70% of American men are overweight or obese, as compared to 59% of American women. Perhaps most terrifyingly, men seem to be becoming less male. Testosterone levels in men have fallen precipitously. One study found that the average levels of male testosterone dropped by 1% every year after 1987. This is unrelated to age. The average 40-year-old man in 2017 would have testosterone levels 30% lower than the average 40-year-old man in 1987. 1987? 10 years after the disco age? Were there real men in 1987? And you're telling me the average man now has 30% lower testosterone than a man in 1987? No wonder. This explains so much. There is no upside to this. Lower testosterone levels in men are associated with depression, lethargy, weight gain, decreased cognitive ability. Nothing like this has ever happened. You think we'd want to know what exactly is going on and how to fix it. Hey, that's what I thought. I thought Christians would be glad to know what's going on and fix it. No, because they don't have high testosterone. They have no motivation. They're lethargic. But the media ignore the story. We checked and couldn't find a single NIH-funded study on why testosterone levels are falling. They don't want you to know. Those are the numbers. They paint a very clear picture. American men are failing in body, mind, and spirit. This is a crisis. Yet our leaders pretend it's not happening. Not this leader. They tell us the opposite is true. Women are victims. Men are oppressors. To question that assumption is to risk punishment. Virtually every college campus supports a women's studies department whose core goal is to attack male power. A week or two later, he was back at it again. He says, between 1960 and 2016, the proportion of kids living with both parents decreased by almost 20%. The percentage of children living with only their mothers tripled. Changes to family structure, this abrupt and profound, typically are only seen in wartime. Pay attention. If anything, those numbers understate the reality of fatherlessness in America. Boys who grow up alone with only their mothers tend to earn less. They also have more disciplinary problems. They read less. They're more likely to be unemployed or live in poverty. They're more likely to be obese and have asthma. They're more likely to abuse alcohol and drugs. As adults, they're twice as likely to go to prison. Now these numbers are not the results of one study, but numerous large studies done over generations. When was the last time you heard a Democratic office holder decry the out-of-wedlock birth rate? If you cared about reducing poverty, you would talk about it a lot. Unmarried mothers are a critical part of the Democratic coalition. Hillary Clinton shot a video tribute to single mothers. Single moms are the real heroines, she said. You know why? Because 75% of them vote Democrat. That's why. So, who is aiding this terrible situation where children don't have fathers? The courts are. You can see Phyllis Schlafly's latest book on that subject. Government welfare policies are. You reward women for having children without a husband in the home, without a father. Changes in culture, the commie agenda. But there's also physical changes occurring that we've dealt with. That's part of the conspiracy. To get rid of all male determination, to get rid of all male drive, to basically bind the strong man. Why do you want to bind the strong man? So you can spoil the goods. Spoil the country. Spoil the children. You can't have warriors running around. Notice what Tucker said. Changes to family structure this abrupt and profound typically are only seen in wartime. Hey, guess what? You are at war. You are in a war. The Bible says in Isaiah 3, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, destroy, and destroy the way of thy path." That's a prophecy. That is a prophecy. It's time for men to stir themselves awake, shake off the delusion, slap themselves to sobriety. The following is what Satan and his Jezebel servants are trying to stop. Right here. They're trying to stop mighty men. Why are they trying to stop mighty men? Listen to me, Church of God. Here's why. Look at Psalms verse 4, 127 verse 4. "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man to have his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." As Spurgeon says, they can meet foes both in law and in fight. You know why? They do not want mighty men in the home because mighty men are going to tend to raise up arrows that are going to be a rebuke to the world. They're going to destroy them that are in the gate. They're going to contend with them that are in the gate. And they're going to be able to not be ashamed but speak with boldness as they confront this wicked generation. They don't want your children growing up being able to resist their wicked culture, their wicked indoctrination. They want a man with backbone that stands up and says, "No, this isn't going to happen. I'm pulling my children back. I'm pulling my arrows back so when I aim them, they're going to hit this culture with force and they're going to contend against it." So the whole conspiracy of Satan and his Jezebel servants are to keep men from being mighty, because mighty men, in what God defines as mighty, tend to bring forth and train up mighty warrior children. Wow. Jesus said it in Mark 3, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." So what? That's what happened to the devil. Because he had unlawful rights. He's a usurper. But the devil turns it back around. The devil knows this principle. He says, "Yeah, the first thing I got to do to destroy the homes of America is bind the mighty men. So there's no more mighty men in the homes. Better yet, there's no men at all." What did Jezebel go after? Naboth's vineyard, a picture of the family in Psalms. In Song of Solomon, the vineyard is your body. Satan, through Jezebel, is going forth to pervert the body of men physically and emotionally, to do everything he can, and she can, as a Jezebel spirit, to disrupt your hormones, to confuse your hormones, to make you weak without any determination. Why are they going after your health? To get rid of your strength, to get rid of your motivation, so you won't be a strong man anymore. So your goods can be robbed. So your children, why does Satan want to make you a weak man? Because strong, mighty men bring forth warrior children to confront this world. The idea is to perpetuate weakness. Compromisers. Children with no backbone. Children that will not stand up. get a child away from a mighty, godly father, and many times they become weak, unable to stand, unable. They compromise with evil. When a man is feminized hormonally, he loses his testosterone. And as it happens year by year by year by year, he loses drive. He loses the feelings of wanting to overcome. He loses endurance to finish things, to keep going in the face of opposition. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, "Watch ye, stand in the faith, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." There's a generation coming to America and might already be here where Paul can't say that. Paul can't look at the Corinthians and say, "Now I want y'all to be like men." Because at least in that day and age, they might not have been moral men, but they were men. There was a time in America not long ago, they might not have been moral leaders, but every nation, there were men in our nation and at the heads of other nations. Quit you like men. The Philistines told their soldiers, quit you like men. That means overcome, quit making excuses, finish what you start, go conquer something, go build something, and quit whining. This is the biblical view of manliness. This is what Satan wants to rob from you. Judges 6, Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. They had experienced the loss of family members. They had experienced robbery, persecution from the Midianites. Everybody had given up. There was no wine presses in operation. So Gideon said, "You know what? I got to feed my family. I'm going to go over here to this old wine press. Everybody uses oxen, but I can't use a bunch of oxen. I'll just take me a stick and start beating things, and I'm going to go feed my family." He kept working. He did what he had to do under pressure. He didn't give up. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Oh, very surprising to Gideon. "Me, a mighty man of valor? What have I done?" Well, God says, "What you're going to do is going to be great, because I'm going to use you as a leader." But I believe what God was saying is, what you're doing right now is what a man does. What you're doing right now is, you're not giving up. You're not a quitter. You're looking at the opposition and you're doing what has to be done. You're taking the roof off. You're getting the job done for your family. Let me show you some other mighty men. There's so many, we don't have time. 2 Samuel 23. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man who had done many acts, he slew two... I tell you what, a valiant man raises a valiant man. That's often the point. Who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighty men. What did this man do that was so worthy? He could have said, "There's a lion there. I'm not going to climb down in the pit. There's snow everywhere. It's cold." No, what he said is, "Somebody's going to get hurt by that lion. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to risk my life to keep somebody else from getting hurt." That's manliness. He didn't make excuses. He was courageous. He was bold. He was a warrior. To defend your family from this wicked culture and indoctrination, physically and spiritually, you've got to be a man. You've got to be a mighty man. You've got to be a warrior in a real battle. There is a lion raging today, and it's cold outside. People are cold. You're not going to be able to slay Satan until the Lord returns and bruises him under your feet. But I tell you what, you can sure drive him back. Oh man, you can stand against him. You can resist him and he will flee. Some warrior man can stand up, do what they have to do in the Lord, and they can drive the devil out of their communities, out of their churches, out of their families. So now you got the problem. There's an attack upon you, Daddy. Why? So they can get the whole family. Now you see the reality of the war. So now, what do we need to do? The answer is obvious. You have to fight. Everywhere you have to fight. Like David, when all was lost, they were already exhausted, had already marched. And then he gets back and realizes Satan's done stole his whole family. All of these men lost their wives, their children. They wanted to stone David. So now not only has David lost his family, but his own men were against him, and everybody was exhausted and beaten and tired. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And though exhausted, he went after the enemy, slew the enemy, and rescued back everybody's children and family. So how are we going to fight? First, you have to have the spiritual. I mean, we got to have the spiritual. You got to fight spiritually. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We got to fight spiritually. The Bible says through the foolishness of preaching. It's not just knowing the doctrine and saying, here's a sheet of paper. The Lord gave the Word of God to be preached through the foolishness of preaching. You need magistrates in the church to stand up and preach. Preach to your children. Preach. The Word of God is like a hammer. It stirs us. It directs us. We got to have the Lord. We got to have His Word. Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Ephesians, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We got to have the Lord. We got to have His Word. We got to have preaching. We got to have the institution of the local church, the pillar and ground of the truth. We got to have the spiritual armor on. But listen to what the Lord said. Matthew 26, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now I want you to hear something right now. Listen, listen to what the Lord just said. The Lord said that you can endure temptations even if your body is in a mess. The spirit's willing. The spirit can go against the rest of the body. You can be hormonally confused. You can say you would not believe how messed up and confused. I don't have any testosterone. Everything's so confused and upside down. You don't have to act on those feelings. That's the power of the spirit. That's the power of preaching the Word of God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you another verse. Proverbs 18. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. Wow. This is why you could have people with all kinds of messed up feelings inside. They've been so messed up by BPA and everything else, and by the media and by bad influences and Hollywood. But you can bring them in here, give them the Word of God, give them the Holy Spirit, and they can stand up. And they can say, I'm in a lot of pain, and I'm fighting like you wouldn't believe, but I'm walking contrary to my flesh. Praise God. This is why there's hope. This is why there's hope for everybody in America. Though they've messed you up physically, we can stand up, and the spirit of man will sustain our infirmity, and we can walk contrary. Think about it. We're not called to walk according to the flesh. We're not called to rely on our feelings. Now, having laid that down on the table plainly, now let's look over here a second. The Scripture also teaches us in 3 John, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So the Holy Ghost, it's the desire of John that we be healthy as we can be in our body and in our emotions, and certainly in our spirit. Why is that? Because it's so much easier when your body and inner emotions are not working entirely against you. The reason for separation is not only is it sin to go touch the unclean thing, but it produces all kinds of temptations in us. We pray, Lord, deliver me not into temptation. Account us worthy to escape the things that are coming. So listen to me. When a man's testosterone is low, there is no determination that he feels. There's no drive to build, at least in his flesh. There's no conquering will. There's no fighting. There's no enduring. Instead, they're going to quit like a sissy. You're called even though you feel nothing. You're cold. You have no determination to get up and do anything. You got to do it anyway. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. In the Bible, Paul says that he charged the Thessalonians as a father does. Fathers charge their children? Where? In what world? Paul says in Hebrews, we have all had fathers who chastised us. In what world? In ancient times, when he could say, quit you like men, overcome like men do. It was a different world. Fathers and even mothers need to be preparing children warriors, as we saw in the psalm, to rise up and confront the enemies in the gate, to speak, as the text says, and even as the margin says, to destroy. Not to go kill people, but you got to do a battle, brother. And these children are faced with a battle. Why are there no warriors? That's a subject for another day. Why are these children not growing up to be warriors? That's a subject for another day. But I'll just say for a second, because there's no platoon leaders. There's no magistrate. There's no preparation for battle. A platoon leader gets you ready for the war. He's hard on you because he's training you for what's going to be out there, for the war that's coming, the war that's already raging about you. Are Christian parents training their children for this wicked, ungodly cesspool of a world and this ungodly, God-forsaken nation that's being turned into hell? Are you planning, are you training your child for this world out here? Not to be of it, but they've got to be in it. Children are being raised by parents who protect them in wrong ways. They rescue them in wrong ways. They never let them face opposition. They let them never learn the old momism that they were so against in the 1940s. She's going to help her little caterpillar. Come here. I'll do this for you. Come here. I've got to help my little butterfly. I got to help my little caterpillar. He's going to be a glorious butterfly one day. And he's going to just spread his wings. This is going to be wonderful. Oh, are you struggling? Come here. Let me help you. Let me help you. Daddy says, leave the kid alone. He'll do all right. He's getting out okay, Mama. Leave him alone. No, I got to go help him. I got to go help him. Now your butterfly can't fly. Why? Why? Look at nature and figure it out. God doesn't use the example of the butterfly, but he does use the example of the eagle. He says the mother eagle, right when that baby eagle is comfortable and resting, it makes, the mama does this, it makes the baby eaglet uncomfortable and begins to stir it up and poke at it and do everything it can where it's not comfortable in the nest anymore. Because it's going to get it out of the nest. And then it feels like it's abandoned. It feels like it's abandoned. And then the mother eagle catches it. stirs it up again every time it gets comfortable. Why? So it can learn to fly. Children are being raised today that can't conquer anything. They cannot solve any problems. They can't get through anything. They don't know how to do anything. They don't have any boldness. Because they haven't been trained by platoon leaders. So we need real preachers, real fathers, wise mothers, wise men and women in church, community and church fathers and mothers. Not to pamper and coddle, but to challenge children, to charge them, to say, you can do it. Well, I'm used to you doing it, Mama, and fixing it for me. No, you can do it. You can do it. Let me tell you what the goal is. Even though you must walk contrary to your flesh, no matter how you feel, whether you've got determination or not, no matter where your hormones are, I believe the goal is to not have the flesh working against you to so great a degree. Whatever you can do to have the flesh not be so contrary, to not be so stirred up in sin. I'm talking about my flesh here, your body, your emotions. It says in Ecclesiastes 10, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, sharpen it, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. What's the point here? If you try to chop down a tree with a blunt axe, you're going to have to work really, really hard. Folks, you let your body get all out of shape and all messed up and disrupted and get your hormones all backwards by this world, you're going to have a time of it. Instead of your boy trying to resist women, he's going to have to work to resist men. Is that what you want for your children? You say, no way. Well, how many Christians do you know that have had that problem already? You keep doing the same thing, you get the same results. So let's figure out what is happening here. What's wrong with them? What temptations are they feeling inside? Why are they feeling those? We know the flesh is wicked. But something's stirring it up. And you're having to work extra hard. When maybe we can lighten the load a little bit with a sharper axe. Maybe we can lighten the load a little bit if you get your hormones straight and just have a little bit of discipline and self-control and wisdom. Go read what wisdom is in the book of Proverbs. It's being able to hear and listen and not be stubborn and a scorner and lazy and foolish. The Bible says in Romans 13, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, I'm not to try to stir up my flesh. This is why I believe in studying what the Bible says about the whole man, the spirit, soul, and body. What kind of help does God have for my body? What kind of help does He have for my spirit? And we're missing so much that God has for your body to lighten the load of your temptations. You say, I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't need any extra hormonal balance or extra energy. I'm fine. Really? Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. And one of these benefits is in verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God has things for us that bless us and make us feel youthful, where we have energy, not to go sin, but to go work for God and fight for God. Proverbs 27, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Hey, let me ask you something. Most Christians would or should agree that you have to stand and do right even if nobody comes and helps you. Even if you have no Christian friend to come and help you, you must stand and do right. The Bible says, though, a sweet friend, the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel, what a blessing that is. What a blessing it is in battle to have somebody come over and encourage you. Amen? What a blessing in battle to say, how are you doing? Are you fighting? What can I do to help you in this battle? Praise God for those kind of friends. Not to help you sin and help you do wrong and help you destroy your family, but help you do right. Now, isn't it much easier to stand when you have somebody encouraging you? But you got to stand whether anybody encourages you or not, right? Okay, now if that's true in regard to the spiritual, then the first of the verse is also true in regard to the physical. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. That's not chemical perfume you bought down at the mall. This is talking about oils and ointments that God's ingredients rejoice your heart. Your mood can be affected by some of the oils and ointments that God has in the Bible. It will affect, what kind of temptation is it to walk around all day and have nobody encourage you, no friend to call and say, you know, can I do anything for you? Can I help you? It's hard to walk. It's hard to stand, but you got to do it anyway. Well, how hard is it when you don't listen to what God says about anointing yourself with His ointments and taking the things that He's given you for your body? And so now you're in a bad mood. You don't have that joy. You don't have that joy that comes physically and emotionally. This isn't witchcraft. It's taking Bible diet and Bible ingredients and getting the blessings that God has for you. When you eat right and do right and follow God's plans and grow in wisdom with the things He has physically, it helps us to rejoice. I made just a few changes in my diet and I wouldn't believe the amount of joy. I'm always trying to perfect it and find something else I can do to get more energy and more joy. Wow, what a blessing it is. It's easier to be kinder to people. It's easier to encourage people. When you're feeling good, I got to do it anyway. Miss Deborah was in a lot of pain, but she always went against those feelings and did her best to live contrary to all that pain she was in. What a blessing it is when you can maintain your body and get some extra strength and blessing by God's wisdom. Make that axe sharper. The tree goes down a lot easier. Praise God. But see, the devil's come along and says, it's not very spiritual to use a sharp axe. Somebody wants you to get discouraged trying to chop down that tree. So he comes and says, yeah, you're going to die anyway. Why take care of your body? Everything will give you cancer. Everything's a mess. Just do whatever you want. Be a Gnostic. Don't worry about your body. Boy, after a few swings, you're ready to give up. I got too much pain. I can't help you, man. My body's in too much pain. I don't have any motivation. I don't have any desire. Why are we even doing this? Whine, 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 whine. Complain, complain, complain. Sigh, sigh. Fret, fret, fret. When the Lord said the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, all the disciples went to sleep. Please hear me. He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. They went to sleep. You know why they went to sleep? Because their body said, I want to go to sleep. They did not resist the body. He said, stay awake. They went to sleep. So I'm telling you something, folks. You might say, well, I don't care whether, well, you know, my body, I'm not going to take care of it the best I can. I don't care about endocrine disruption. I don't care whether I have the fight and determination that a man should have. I'm fine without it. No, you're going to go to sleep like the disciples did. You're no better than they are. How does ointment rejoice our heart? What are the good things to eat that renew our youth? When hormones are reversed in men and women, it doesn't lead to good health in your body or in our society. And as testosterone of men decline rapidly, as we've seen, so does their manly drive and fight go away. So many years, I pointed to plastic, BPA, phthalates, antibiotics, hormones, pesticides, heavy metals, alcohol, hops and beer, chlorine, bug spray. All of these things are endocrine disruptors. Give a woman alcohol and let her drink a few months. See her next year and watch her voice go down low. Watch her face. Watch her muscles start coming out. And she gets all out of shape. Watch her voice go low. Watch all those masculine things come from a woman on alcohol. Put a man on beer and alcohol. And watch his voice sometimes go higher. Watch him get the beer belly. Watch a whole lot of physical changes begin to happen in his life. Watch him lose all of his drive to accomplish anything. And the fact is, you've got this alcohol and chlorine and bug spray and antibiotics in your food and pesticides and hormones. It's all everywhere. And endocrine disruption occurs at very small levels many times. In fact, one study showed that men's testosterone fell remarkably simply from eating a can of soup one day for a week. They measured it. Here's a can of soup with BPA lining. Just eat one can of soup a day and let's see what happens. And now let's measure your testosterone. Reuters Health in 2007 says a new study has found a substantial drop in U.S. men's testosterone levels since the 1980s. This trend also does not appear to be related to age. A 65-year-old man in 2002 would have testosterone levels 15% lower than those of a 65-year-old in 1987. Wow. Forbes, which isn't a big fan of health things, in 2017... Forbes says, you're not the man your father was. They at least allow this opinion piece. Across the population, men today have less testosterone compared to men of the same age a generation ago. A 2007 study in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism revealed a substantial drop in U.S. men's testosterone levels since the 1980s. Another study of Danish men produced similar findings. Listen, with double-digit declines among men born in the 60s compared to those born in the 1920s. So, a man in 1920 compared to a man in 1960 had a double-digit difference in his testosterone levels. Now you take that fella in 1960 that is already double digits below the man in 1920. Where is he at? 15 to 17% lower. These trends coincide with a decline in musculoskeletal strength among young men. In a 2016 study, the average 20 to 34-year-old man could apply 98 pounds of force with a right-handed grip, down from 117 pounds by a man of the same age in 1985. I knew the man in 1985. I was there. Those men were stronger? Wow. So we have many men and boys today that can't cut the mustard. God help us. Can't get the job done. Any job. Very little motivation. Very little drive. Very little ability to finish anything. Very little ability to say, I got to go conquer something. I got to go build something. What needs to be done next? Don't go blaming it on old age. Remember Caleb at 84 or whatever age he was says, I'm ready to go up and fight. I'm ready to war. I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40. Now before you say, well, that was just some miraculous situation, look at Science Daily, 2011. Older age does not cause testosterone levels to decline in healthy men. You might not have the same body, but in many ways you have the same determination. You have the same testosterone, or you should. Here is another article. In primitive rural areas, old men have just as much testosterone as young men. Once men pass the age of 40, according to the textbooks, their testosterone levels decline by 1.5% each year. But this phenomenon is perhaps not as inevitable as we have been led to think, write American biologists in an article that was published in the American Journal of Human Biology. In the countryside of Bolivia, where conditions are almost medieval, older men have just as much testosterone as the young men. And there is the study there. Now, what happens when a woman's testosterone grows higher and men's grow lower? Think of the beer drinking example I gave you. Think what it's doing to the woman. Think what it's doing to the man. One fellow said, hey, there's a lot of hard-boiled women around here. What did he mean by that? He meant that they're raspy, that they're hard. A lot of times they've been drinking and doing things that are disrupting their hormone. Hard living. So we don't want this. We don't want this because we don't want the extra temptations in our lives. That's the whole point. We're trying to lighten the load. You say it's just such a pain to have to be disciplined in regard to health. No, it's such a pain to have the temptations that come and the stress on your marriage when things are not in health. Now, we have shown in the past some of the good things that God has to eat for us. We have seen how the Israelites, listen to me, were strong. And the Bible says they were eating fish, onions, and garlic. Study after study is showing, especially with rats at least, increasing testosterone from onions. Now, I've tried the drinking of the onion juice, and I just can't tolerate it. But you can eat an onion, and I can tolerate that. But sometimes I just go and get the bulk organic onion and just put it in capsules, you know. Take the garlic and put it in the capsules. It's cheap, and you can get plenty of it. Olive oil has increased testosterone levels in men. Even more significant increases came from pomegranate juice. Frankincense increases testosterone levels. Why do we need these things? We need these things because of the culture that we're living in, the environment that we're living in. Compared to our 1920s fathers, where are we today? We need the drive. We need the fight. We need the determination that comes from a healthy body. We're called to be warriors. There's so many other things that we could mention, but look at this verse that I was thinking about. Mark chapter 4. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Mustard, at least there in the Middle East at that time, we have numerous reports that it does grow into a tree, a big tree, and it's an herb. This small little seed, but it grows into this big tree. As one rabbi says, a stalk of mustard was in my field into which I was wont to climb, as men are wont to climb into a fig tree. Dr. Hooker measured a mustard plant in the Jordan Valley 10 feet high. Now here's what my mind does. My mind says, now wait a second. This herb, I know the spiritual teaching here about the kingdom and about faith and that type of thing, but when it says it becomes greater than all herbs, my mind goes back to Genesis 1. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. The sun was the greater light. The moon was the lesser light. Both are important. Which one's masculine and which one's feminine? The greater equals masculine in the Bible. Not greater in value. Greater in strength. At least one kind of strength. Women are greater in another kind of strength. But in the Bible, you've got greater and weaker. The greater is greater and lesser. The greater is masculine. It says in Isaiah 13, the sun shall be darkened in his going forth. Masculine. Only one Bible on the face of the earth, your King James Bible. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. Feminine. Feminine. The lesser is feminine. Okay, so that's a principle in the Bible. 1 Peter 3. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the what? The greater vessel. Is that what it says? No, no. Weaker vessel. Weaker vessel. It's just a hint. It's just a hint. But isn't it very interesting what some modern research is saying? You have to admit, it's very interesting. Something to explore in the future. We find that mustards, in fact, the whole cruciferous family, the whole mustard family, at least in many cases, seems to raise men's testosterone. It's almost like, that's why I call it Mr. Mustard as a subtitle to this sermon. Mr. Mustard. You got to cut the mustard. And something about mustard here makes men strong, or at least that's a theory that many are starting to raise. Now, it's not going to go lift weights for you, but the point is if you work out and exercise, there's something about mustard that seems to help. Now, some of the studies are showing that for women, instead of it being one of those things where it's neutral, to where, like olive oil or something, it's going to help the woman and help the man. It's not going to raise a woman's testosterone, but it's going to raise a man's testosterone. In other words, it knows whether you're male or female, and it's smart. There's other things on earth that sometimes raise testosterone, whether you're male or female. It's good if you're a man, but it's not good if you're a woman. Now, by what mechanism it's doing this and that type of thing, it's not good for a woman to have her testosterone raised and have all kinds of temptations stirred up that come with that, have less affection for her husband as far as her temptations. There are some health practitioners, and I've seen this with my own eyes. Women on maca tend to go crazy. Maca's a mustard. And they're always recommending that for women. No, I think all it's doing is, and many agree with me, it just raises your testosterone. They're taking this mustard, and now they're having all of these desires and crazy things that they're doing. And if they're already having mercury poisoning or whatever other problems in their life that also raise testosterone, you're going to be out of control. You can still control it. You ought to control it, but it's sure going to be hard. You're going to have to apply a lot of strength. Well, here are some studies, fasebj.org. Anabolic effect of plant mustards, or this is a nutrient or principle in the mustards, increased food intake, body weight gain, lean body mass, and they had a 6.7 increase in lower extremity strength. Natural News says the simple mustard plant and its seeds have been in the news a lot lately because of their ever-expanding list of known health benefits. And yet another study has found that mustard and certain types of vegetables naturally contain a steroid-like compound that can help increase appetite, promote the development of muscle mass, and boost overall athletic performance. Now, when you begin to study this more, you find out that mustards contain an estrogen-blocking phytochemical, DIM and 13C. I3C. So this is so well known by researchers that when they think you have breast cancer, they tell you to go eat cabbage and mustard and cruciferous vegetables. They say because we want to block that estrogen. They're so twisted in their mind. It's like when a man gets prostate cancer, they say, we've got to get rid of your testosterone now. So go take saw palmetto or some of our natural, artificial, synthetic injections. We're going to give you estrogen. They're so twisted in their minds, see. So this is something for you to go check out. Sometimes foods or nutrients raise testosterone not directly, but by keeping it from being converted to estrogen. If you're a woman already having trouble with high testosterone, then perhaps you need to look at the mustards in your life and give it a try and see if it's maybe getting rid of the little bit of estrogen you've got left. Something to think about. But notice something else here. This gets me thinking about lesser things. Matthew 23. Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. So follow this for a second. He's saying that heaven becomes a symbol for the throne of God and for God himself who sits on the throne. So that's why he could say the ministry of John the Baptist, was it of heaven or of men? And heaven by the Lord Jesus becomes a synonym or a symbol for God. Just like we say the White House today or Hollywood. Now follow this as we read the next verse. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. Now think about this for a second. Mint, anise, and cumin just became a symbol of sorts for lesser things in contrast to greater things. In Matthew 5 it says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. So just like the lesser light and the weaker vessel, mints with anise and cumin are symbolic of the weaker things. What are the weaker things? Well, in context, the physical is weak in contrast to the spirit. Food is weak in contrast to the weightier matters of the law. Tithing is weak in contrast to the weightier matters of the law. The tithing of herbs specifically is weak, but not unlawful, in contrast to the other things in the law. So mint stands for weak things, the lesser things that ought to be done. Don't think that neglecting something little is therefore safe. The Lord said, you break one of the least commandments, it's going to affect your status in the coming kingdom. He says these things ought to be done, but the little foxes, says Solomon, spoil the vines. All it takes is a little fox to spoil the vine. You get things messed up a little bit, and it can have a great difference in your home. The tongue is a little member, but what a great consequence. Life and death and hellfire are in the tongue. You say tithing's just a small little thing. Sure, it can sure hurt you significantly, though. God says in Malachi 3, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Not only robbing him in tithes, but robbing offerings. So I'm pointing all of this out to show little things can still be very significant, folks. So then you start reasoning about some of this. You start wondering. And you say lesser things. What kind of effect do these herbs have upon women? I would guess that they're going to help them greatly. I have so much more research, but I'll just give you a few things here. WebMD says women use anise to increase milk flow when nursing. Okay, must be very important. ResearchGate says tradition in Egypt indicates that anise oil damages reproductive development in boys. According to the traditional thinking, drinking anise by boys may be harmful to their reproductive system. Anise oil treated rats showed several histopathological changes decreasing testosterone. Very interesting. What about cumin? Healthline says, cumin appears to have the ability to keep cancer cells from multiplying, according to some experiments. In one study, rats that were fed cumin were protected from colon cancer. The active ingredients in cumin seeds have an anti-inflammatory, antiseptic effect. The essential oil of cumin alone wasn't found to have anti-inflammatory properties. Uh-oh, the Bible says the leaves of the tree. I think Brother Mike found out a difference between frankincense oil and the frankincense itself. So in some cases, the oil is fine and it does have the properties you need. But this whole essential oil movement is sometimes robbing you from some active ingredients that you might need. Overweight women that were given cumin powder and ate a healthy diet showed improvement in their weight and vital statistics. Researchers have evaluated cumin extract for treating the cramps, digestive spasms, nausea, and bloating associated with irritable bowel syndrome. Cumin extract was able to treat these symptoms for as long as participants were consuming it in one study. It's so effective that researchers hope cumin might be an effective replacement for people who cannot afford expensive prescription drugs to treat their IBS. Researchers have found evidence that cumin suppresses testosterone levels, which means it could make men less fertile if they're taking it. Here's one study, the pharmacological activities of cumin. Testosterone levels were declined significantly. The authors concluded that cumin can be acting as an herbal male contraceptive. The writers of Digital Muscle said, you read that right. Ingest more than a half teaspoon of cumin and you can lower not only your testosterone levels, but also the ability of cells in the male body to make testosterone to work. Okay, now, there seems to be, and I have a lot more, research showing that when you take anise, it is wonderful for women, suppressing their testosterone levels and blessing them in so many ways. Cumin doing the same thing to women. But there seems to be some research coming out that it also suppresses testosterone in boys and men. So now let's look at the first thing, mint. Here's a published study, effects of peppermint teas on plasma testosterone in rats. Total testosterone levels had decreased. The differences were statistically significant. Here's another one. Great for women, maybe not so good for men. Spearmint herbal tea has significant anti-androgen effects in polycystic ovarian syndrome. Androgen levels leads to significant cosmetic and psychological problems, meaning if you have higher testosterone in a woman, she's going to have cosmetic and psychological issues. Recent research in Turkey has shown that spearmint tea has anti-androgenic properties in females. 42 volunteers were randomized to take spearmint tea twice a day for 1 month period. Free and total testosterone levels were significantly reduced over the 30-day period in the spearmint tea group. So all they did was drink 2 cups of spearmint tea, and they had a significant reduction in testosterone levels in just 1 month. There was a clear and significant alteration in the relevant hormone level. So I've said for years, and some women have got mad. They said, I'm just all over the place in my emotions. Things are going crazy. I said, okay, well, let's deal with it, and let's begin to look in the Word of God. But why don't you start drinking some mint tea during the day? And I've said that for years, at least for 10 years. And In one study, spearmint tea reduced women's free testosterone by 30%. 30%. That's very significant. A 2008 study from Food and Chemical Toxicology revealed that spearmint lowered androgens and testosterone in male rats. Now, I start thinking, well, I wonder if others understood this anciently. So you look at medicinal plants of North America, and it says, Alexander the Great thought that eating mint or drinking the tea caused unaggressive, listless behavior. It was forbidden by ancient Greeks to their warriors. You could not chew on a mint leaf because they thought that in battle you would lose your drive and your willingness to fight. Now, why is this important? Why is having women take some anise and cumin and mint? And by the way, you can take mint leaves, grind them up, and put them in a capsule and eat them. Or you could just drink the tea. Or you can buy Girly Guard and maybe be blessed. When testosterone goes up in females, it can result in acne, oily skin, hair loss on your head, but hair growing on your face, thinning hair, weight gain, increases in unlawful desires, cysts, which can rupture, a lowering of your voice, infertility, changes in body shape, increased muscle mass, reduced emotional empathy, are some latest studies that have come out. Loss of feminine traits, increased perspiration, aggravation to heart disease, and one of the biggest is irritability and aggression and increased stress. So in other words, you're going to be tempted even more when your testosterone goes up to be a mean rooster to your husband or anywhere else you see another rooster. Because when a rooster sees another rooster, there's a conflict. Now, for years they've called this henpeck. No. Modern generation, this is not a henpeck problem at all. You're being rooster pecked. Frankenstein roosters are being created in the homes of America. And when you get two roosters in a home, you've got conflict. I've got two roosters right now and no hens. I've got two roosters and there is conflict. They say, well, there's not going to be any conflict. Hey, you bring a hen around, you're really going to have conflict. But sometimes they just sit around all day fighting and making each other bloody, and it's just sad. You can't have two roosters. Not in that way. But I have to say, in another way, that's not really happening anyway. Because for survival, when there's a Jezebel and they're going to stay together, the man has to become an Ahab. And what was Ahab's problem? He sits in the room and sulks and cries and sucks his thumb and pities himself and gets depressed and has no motivation. And Jezebel says, get out of the way, I'll go get this done. So really, what you have today is just a reversal. She becomes the rooster and he becomes the hen. See? And that might work to keep the marriage together. The problem is, it becomes devastating to the children. Children that grow up with a reversal of mom and dad, it's devastating to them. It's devastating. Every time I've seen it, even in a little degree, the boys become very effeminate, very girly, and the girl becomes very aggressive, very dominant, and doesn't like girly things anymore. And oftentimes it results in temptations to homosexuality. One of the biggest problems of high testosterone in a woman is lack of impulse control. In a study entitled Gender Differences in Financial Risk Aversion and Career Choices Are Affected by Testosterone, Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, researchers showed that females with higher levels of testosterone take more risks and engage in more thrill-seeking behavior. That's something you don't want for your daughter. Not in a moral sense. Oh, I think it'd be exciting to cheat on my husband. No, you don't want that. I'm not saying sin comes from physical things. I'm saying the temptation to sin does. And God made us to be healthy and intends us to be healthy in our emotions and hormones. And I believe we're causing a lot of trouble. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, by long persuading is a prince persuaded. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. 1 Peter 3 says the woman with the meek and quiet spirit wins her husband. She does amazing things. She is strong, but in a feminine way. She has power, but in a feminine way. And that's what we want. Real quickly as we close, what are some signs of low testosterone in addition to the more obvious ones, fatigue in a man, low energy in a man, a decrease in his muscle mass, breast growth, mood changes, irritability, a lack of focus, depression, brain fog, insomnia, and a lack of motivation. A lack of motivation. Dear Holy Father, I do pray for warrior fathers, whether they have children or not, God. Because we're called to be fathers of this generation. I do pray that we'll raise up warriors, Lord, to pass on, to go before us. I pray we'll all work together, Father, to lighten the load of our temptations, to sharpen the axe, to open up your word, Lord, and begin to reason and think it out and try things and experiment, Lord, and know that you have given us the manual of life. Help us to have interpretation, to see and learn and grow. And Lord, I do pray that many women will be blessed. And it would be, Father. I know there's some out there that listen to these sermons, God, and I appreciate that. And some of them actually try the things that I suggest, Lord, and I thank you for those. And I pray right now, Lord, that you'll use some of the things that have been offered here, God, to save marriages, to lighten the load of temptation that's on women. That they will not be tempted to be as irritable and aggressive. That the men will find renewed energy and motivation to not be moody and sulky and whiny. Holy Father, we love you. I thank you for these good people here. I thank you for those that listen. Help us to fight well in these last days, God, and save these children. Let us stand up and refuse to step aside. And whether our axe is dull or sharp, God, may we swing it with all your might. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.